Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We've been married a long time. And he said, yes, but you want me all to yourself. Calista doesn't care what I do.
What was he saying to you, you think?
He was asking to have an open marriage, and I refused.
He wanted an open marriage?
Yeah, that I accept the fact that he has somebody else in his life.
And you said?
No, no, that is not a marriage.
You cheating heart.
You expect me to cover it, so I will. What can I do? What a day in a race. So many things have happened. This is one of them, obviously. So a couple of things come to mind. Hell hath no fury like a woman spurned, and Calista Gingrich. Who is Calista Gingrich? Who is this woman? Who is the other woman that the rotund congressman fell for? Well, she was born in 1966. For those of you into horoscopes, born on March 4th. 1966. Her birth name, she was born Calista Louise Bissek to Alphonse Emile Bissek and Bernita Krauss Bissek. She was a valedictorian from Whitehall Memorial High School in Whitehall, Wisconsin, high school girl in 1984, and cum laude from Lucer College in Decorah, Iowa. Sounds like a very religious girl. Very religious girl. And then the religious girl goes to Washington from 1988 until 05 as a staffer. Now, we can, it's not a late night comedy show, but we'll leave that go. As a staffer in the U.S. House of Representatives for the House Committee on Agriculture and in the office of Congressman Steve Gunderson, R. Wisconsin. Well, the rest is history. She apparently caught the eye of the rotund one. And away he went. That was the end of a marriage. They began in 1993 while Newt was still married. Calista, who was a lifelong Roman Catholic, was instrumental in her husband's conversion to Catholicism. What a great religion. Look what it permits. It permits virtually everything. You take the wafer and you confess in the dark booth. Look, it's not a bad idea. I mean, really. There's no punishment. Whatever. So here we have this thing. Now, there's lots of other things going on in one day in a campaign. What a day, like a seesaw, right? Perry drops out. I like Perry, so he stumbled around a little bit. I mean, frankly, I would have slept better at night with a former Air Force man in the White House rather than an unknown individual who has gutted virtually every freedom we have, as far as he can, that is, thus far. Newt implodes with the open marriage attack by the ex-wife. Perry withdraws and backs Gingrich. Romney, it finds out, actually lost in Iowa. A recount of the Iowa caucuses revealed that Rick Santorum actually won more votes than Mitt Romney. Let's see what else has happened so far. Well, we don't know. I mean, how it's, the day isn't over yet. Oh, wait, there is one other element. Sarah Palin, the Tundra Tootsie herself, the one who tempted all of you rednecks with her. I'm running again, I'm not running again, I'm on again, I'm off again, I'm home again. Like the country music star she really is. Sarah Palin has endorsed Newt Gingrich. And so where are we? We don't know. There's another debate tonight between those that remain. Marianne Gingrich, of course, tried to burn down Newt's house. And here we are. I mean, what can we say about it? It's a crazy day. Now, what do you think about it? And, you know, well, I'll tell you what I think about it. That's why you're tuning in to hear what I think about it. I don't want to play holier than thou because it's a bad place to be. But the whole issue here is moral integrity and the moral high ground, right? Here we have a nation in crisis. civil liberties degraded every day by the Obama administration, National Defense Authorization Act, SOPA, etc. We have a worldwide insolvency problem. Our dollar is facing extinction. And what we want is an honest candidate who we feel will serve America, not himself. We know that politicians and actors are the biggest liars on the planet. Now, can we afford to elect another liar as commander-in-chief? We have a very intelligent man in Newt Gingrich. Most professors of his stature are very intelligent. But the fact of the matter is, do his brains equate with a high moral character? So is he lying when he becomes, or if he became president, do you think he would actually reduce the power of the executive branch once he was president? Or do you think a man with such an ego, with such an outsized ego, would simply curtail more judicial power in favor of the presidency and legislate with executive orders to a greater degree than Obama is? These are important questions. Now, what does the new Newt stand for? Well, let's look at the old Newt. He stood for cronyism and progressivism. So where do we go from here? I'm not going to ask you a question because I think I pretty much laid it out. Now, as far as the overall electorate goes, see, if it wasn't just South Carolina, which is sort of a religious state, if Newt was running today, tonight, let's say, his ratings would actually go up. Who would have thought that the rotund one was a swinger? I mean, when you think about it, I mean, this is going to raise his popularity in San Francisco, Hollywood, New York, and Austin, Texas. I believe Newt's popularity will actually rise in Hollywood, in New York City, for sure after this revelation. I think Hollywood, who has said they're going to withdraw money from Obama because of the piracy law that he's pushing, that they don't want, will now support Newt Gingrich because his lifestyle reflects theirs. You see, I mean, this is actually a good thing. Now, if you're an evangelical Christian, would you rather vote for a Mormon or a philanderer? Let's make it real basic for you. You know, I know that Romney is a liberal. I know he's a stealth progressive. We know this. Here's the rub, though. Who would you sleep better with at night as president? Gingrich, the philanderer liar, or Romney, the liberal Republican? It's an interesting question. I don't really know an answer myself. I don't really have an answer myself. I don't know. I'm just going to back whichever Republican wins at this point because I want to get rid of the Marxist in chief. I don't want him in the office. That's all. Every day he destroys the military. Every day he takes away more liberties. And every day there's more corruption and cronyism. And the country can't take it anymore. You know, so I would say we have to take a chance with any Republican at this point. Now, what you think is important, and I'd like to hear from you at 1-800-449-8255. We can make jokes about Callista, the ice princess. But what's the point? She's just the other woman. You know, good-looking ice princess from a Christian college in Wisconsin goes to Washington. It's not Mr. Smith goes to Washington. It's Miss Bissek goes to Washington, and the rest is history. Someone should do that movie. You know, this would make for a nice Lifetime. I like that chick channel. I sometimes on a Saturday find myself watching the Lifetime channel if I really want to relax. This would make for a good Lifetime soap opera on the Lifetime channel, but it would have to be about Callista Louise Bissek and how she goes from valedictorian at Whitehill Memorial High in Whitehall, Wisconsin, you know, all ponytailed up in 84, and then she becomes cum laude at Lucer College in Decorah, Iowa in 88, and then she goes to Washington, D.C., to the House of Representatives, and the next thing you know, here she is. Doesn't mean she's a bad, you know, person. You know, there are names for this kind of women have the name. By the way, women don't like her. Let me explain this to you. Women don't like Callista. She's everything every woman who is married for any length of time fears. Let's be very clear here. Let's go to the core of the issue. A pretty ice princess blonde, you know, she stoops to conquer as an intern. Oh, yes, you're so brilliant, Newt. Oh, my God. Oh, you're such a genius. You're smarter than Daniel Webster. Master, what can I do for you, Master? Now, that's going to get through the, you know, I don't know how strong his resistance was to begin with, the rotund one, but whatever it is, I don't think it took too long. Now, on the other side, you have the spurned ex-wife, Marianne Gingrich. I'm sorry to say that she's in a no-win situation because everyone's going to say about her, you know, she's the jealous ex-wife. What do you expect her to say? Who knows whether to believe her? Of course you could believe her. Why not? Of course he did. Of course he did this. Take a look at him when he was a college teacher. You think he was a conservative? You know, at that time, I mean, what year was that with the for the free marriage? Was that the 70s? Most professors were into free marriages, whatever the side of the aisle they were on. Ex-wife says he lacks the moral character to be president. They all lack the moral. They all lack the moral character to serve as president, except Mitt Romney. That's the funny part. Mitt Romney has the moral character, but he's a liberal. That's the one problem with Mitt Romney. He's a very moral man. You know Mitt Romney didn't cheat on his wife. Mitt Romney's a stone-hearted good man. But, you know, a liberal in every way, a liberal Republican. We've had that before. We know what that leads to. Just take a look at what Rockefeller was as a governor and what McCain is. You know, McCain every other day is on another ha-ha show. He's become a clown. We don't need a clown as president. We need a strong, America-loving, rock-rib conservative. I'll be right back.
Savage.
There's no question that at times in my life, partially driven by how passionately I felt about this country, that I worked far too hard, and that things happened in my life that were not appropriate. And what I can tell you is that when I did things that were wrong, I wasn't trapped in situation ethics. I was doing things that were wrong. And
all right, knock it on you. All right. A young blonde came along who played the French horn, and you fell for her. That's all. It happens. But don't tell me you worked. You love the country. That's why you fell in love with the young girl in the choir and the French horn player. And that's it. You ditched your wife. So here we are. And then there were four. There's four pods already on the stand. Four pods. You got, who's left? I don't even know. Romney, Gingrich, Paul is up there, right? And Santorum, that's it. And what's his name? Is making a fool of himself. Kane is back. Making a fool of himself, giving one interview after another. It's embarrassing already. You know what's terrible here? Here you have the most incompetent, divisive president in American history, and this is the best the Republicans can do, is chop each other's feet off with the rotund one now bring. It's unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable. You know, one thing you can't say against Obama, and that's one thing you're never going to say against Obama, is, you know, he ain't cheating on Michelle. Now, there's a number of reasons for that, but we won't go into it. That's number one. But you know this guy is not screwing around, okay? That's to his credit. This is no Bill Clinton in the White House. So he's already got the moral high ground over Gingrich. That's number one. And number two, he's got the moral high ground over Romney on the offshore accounts and the taxes. Sure, Romney has more money, so he's going to have more tax loopholes. But all right, you know, you want to play the game. This is the way the game is going to be played. The average person's not going to remember the solar corruption, the decimation of the military, the stealing of your freedoms through the NDAA, and the 1,000 other slashes against our freedoms. They're not going to remember it. And it's the big broad brush picture that's going to reelect Obama. That's what frightens me. That's what I see right now. Okay? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Never mentioned by anyone. Oh, by the way, for those of you who are curious, remember I wrote a defense of the U.S. Marines? I was invited to do so by USA Today. They're taking the other side of the Marines should be punished to the full extent of the law, and they asked me to take the other side. So they bumped it from today, and they say they're going to run it tomorrow. We'll see. I have not yet seen if they're going to edit any of it, because if they're going to take out certain phrases, I'm not going to permit them to publish it. I haven't seen it yet. I'd like to see it on my website at some point. I asked Art to post it, but Art, put it up, would you please, at some point during the show. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. So, women, I'd like to know what women think. That's what I'd like to know. Catherine in Arizona, welcome to the Savage Nation.
He is a stealth fighter. Gingrich is going to is sneaking in, so the president will be elected next year. I do not trust him. I do not like him. And I'm sorry.
Oh, but let's slow down. Would you have voted for any Republican in any case?
No.
So you're a Democrat.
No.
Wait, so you're a Democrat. So you're a Democrat, so you've been looking for an opportunity to hate the Republicans.
Either any of them. All of them are corrupt.
They're all corrupt. Now, tell me which Republican in history has done what Obama's done.
None that None I can think of.
Tell me which Republican in history has taken away our writ of habeas corpus with the stroke of a pen.
None of them yet. Give them time.
Well, but they haven't done it.
No,
Obama stole our right to a trial on December 31st, New Year's Eve, while you were partying. And yet you'll still support a man who took away your most fundamental freedom, the right to a trial?
I do not support him, but...
All right, well, thanks for the call. So you don't know who you support, in other words. You're confused. It's hard in rehab to know exactly who to... You know, you get a few minutes on the phone with the quarter. It's very hard. They let you make a call to a talk show as part of the rehabilitation. Any other women out there have some comment on the French horn play or anything on there? Anyone want any more dirt? I mean, it's what a crazy day. You know, the wife and Santorum actually won in Iowa. What does that mean? That he actually won by 8 votes? 8 votes in the Caucasian caucus matter now? It's getting nuttier by the second. And the only big winner is the most dangerous, divisive, incompetent president in American history. Then here, you know what's going on in San Francisco? We have a sheriff, a lifetime left-wing fanatic, a green, ran the Nader campaign, a Green Party advocate, an environmental genius. Then he becomes the sheriff, and a week later, he's accused of wife abuse and child abuse by a neighbor who has it on a cell phone, and he's indicted, and he pleads not guilty, and there's 3 pleas in a wife abuse case. Could you believe this? In San Francisco, is this ever unbelievable? You talk about hypocrisy. This fits the bill to the nth degree. I can't even pronounce his last name, Mirkarimi, whatever. Sheriff Mirkarimi. Imagine, wife abuser accused of, you got to see the story. In front of the infant, the screaming at they're going to take the baby away, the neighbor said she has it on a cell phone. Now the wife is dummying up. She's from Argentina. They met on some green conference. The wife's dumbing up and said, he really didn't hurt me, even though it's on tape of her running to the neighbor screaming, help me. Look at my arm, it's bruised. Now she's saying, I don't know what I said. He didn't really hurt me at all. This is, you got to see this story.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We have breaking news for you. It's quite personal in nature. I told you that I have been invited by USA Today to support the Marines because they were going to call for their punishment to the full extent of the law based upon the urination videotape. Well, I wrote the 350-word piece that they asked for. Deputy editorial page editor of the failing USA Away newspaper just sent me the following. He said, Michael, here's the edited version. Had to make some trims to fit available space. And just as I thought, these slimy fools eliminated references to Major Nedal Hassan and the Fort Hood massacre. I knew it. There's a conspiracy in the government and in the media to cover up any evil that Muslims do. And I'm sick of it. I'm not going along with it. I said, you cannot publish my letter. Withdrawn. End of story. I'll publish my letter on my own website. To hell with all of you. You lying, conspiratorial bums, you. You took out the reference to the fact that the cowards in the military and the cowards in the media downplayed the Fort Hood massacre while trying to destroy our Marines. I spit on you. You're not journalists. You're nothing but lousy propagandists, all of you. No, you may not publish my letter. And then, wait, to top it all off, on the bottom, they say, Michael Savage is a conservative radio talk show host and author. I said, no, I'm not a conservative radio talk show host. I have the third largest show in the country, and I've authored 26 books, and I have a PhD from Berkeley. Go to hell, all of you. I don't need you. You're all nothing. I'm something. So I just showed you what just happened here. Done. Gone. Done. Just done. I don't want him to have the letter. Not getting my letter. Not getting my letter. Just shows you what goes on. You tell me the media is not biased? You people don't even know the extent of the propaganda. Well, many of you do. That's why you don't buy these lousy newspapers anymore. That is why you don't buy these papers. There's hardly a word of truth. There's hardly a statement made in a newspaper that isn't so twisted it's not worth reading. You take a man of my intellectual capacity and you think you're going to twist me around your thumb? Who do they think they're dealing with here? someone who just got started. I don't need the publicity. I don't need a byline in the newspaper. They need me to have you go buy a newspaper. End of story. Now you want to talk about Gingrich, you want to talk about USA Away, whatever you want to talk about. You wonder why they're broke? The paper never made a dime. Why? Who would buy it? Who would buy a newspaper that does this? Let's go back to the interesting story of Newt Gingrich, of course. That's all that's on anyone's mind. Is there a good caller on Newt Gingrich? Anyone like him? Anyone? I mean, everyone doesn't like him. Who doesn't like Newt Gingrich? No, who does like Newt? Is anyone does like him? Gingrich too arrogant? Gingrich support Israel? I'm not putting Israel first. Let me put you that way. I'm not putting Israel above America's interest. Let me tell you why. Because without America, there's no Israel. Don't put the tail before the wag. You know what I'm saying? Let's get it straight. Israel's the tail with a dog. Let's not put the tail before the dog. Does that make sense to you? If we don't survive, Israel doesn't survive. So stop talking to me already about Israel. I care more about America right now. We're in more trouble than they are. We're in more trouble than they are. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to the callers. Newt. From the Big Apple, let's take a bite out of Newt with Robert from WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael, I would agree with you 100% on the Marines. They should be given a medal. As far as Newt goes, I think compared to the rest of them, he might be more interesting, but all of them together don't have the slightest idea what's going on out here with the working people.
You think all of them are disconnected because they live in the bubble called K Street?
They're totally out of
on K Street, that great street. I'm looking around for a French horn player. French horn. They say he was so impressed with her singing in the church choir. Newt was so impressed that he went to church every day to watch the angel sing, which is very interesting. I mean, he really is in love with her, obviously. He's really in love with the woman that he did marry her. They have been married. I mean, look, let's be real. It's another... You know, take a look at the okay, let's let it go. I mean, you know, you could sit on your high horse there, but if you were built like him and look what he left behind. All right, it happens. You know, life is not fair to the human body, to faces in particular. And for some reason, women get the worst of it, much worse than men. You know that. I'm not making something up just to be cute here. The horrible thing is that men hold out longer, especially in the face for some reason. Just time and gravity is so devastating to the poor female of the species. So the whole picture is not pretty to look at. You know, it's a terrible situation. Pennsylvania, Evelyn, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, I like Newt Gingrich. He's exciting. Mitt Romney is so boring, you want to shut the television off.
So you're willing to forgive Newt his dalliance and leaving a couple of wives and all of that?
I believe that's between him and God. That has nothing to do with me.
Wait, hold it. To be fair, did you feel the same way about Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky?
I did not like Bill Clinton to begin with. But when that happened, instead of condemning him, I did pray for him.
That's interesting. I actually said that the sexual peccadilloes of Bill Clinton, if you actually check my record, while offensive to most people, were not the biggest crimes he was committing against America. We had all of those gates, if you remember. China Gate, remember those? Remember those scandals? And they used the sexual improprieties of Bill Clinton to wipe away all of the real improprieties, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I said. That's how it looked to me. So you pray for him, huh? All right, well, you're entitled. New York, WOR. Bill, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that Newt Gingrich, for all his faults, he was an exceptionally good congressman, and especially being Speaker of the House. And I think a lot of what Bill Clinton got credit for was the result of Bill Clinton.
What did Newt actually accomplish?
Balanced budget, and he had the Congress staying very much in line, and I think he tied Bill Clinton's hands pretty much when he had control of the House of Representatives.
So obviously, to you, any of this stuff with the women doesn't really matter.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm a lifelong Republican, and unfortunately, you know, I'd vote for any Republican with the exception of Ron Paul over Obama. But we're in the same situation we were in the year 2008. The best candidate in 2008 was the mayor of New York, who also accomplished an awful lot and was very capable. I would have supported him. And as it turns out, I had to vote for Romney in the New Jersey primary, which is where I lived at the time, because Mayor Giuliani...
So you would vote for any Republican except Ron Paul. Why not Ron Paul?
Well, because he's a... I'd like to see Ron Paul run as a third-party candidate, because I think he's a crackpot, and the crackpot vote would go to him rather than Obama, because...
Interesting. So you don't think the hardcore conservatives would split off from, let's say, the Republican candidate, whether it be Romney or Gingrich, and go to Ron Paul? It would be taken from the Democrats?
Oh, absolutely. Ron Paul, I mean, I don't know if you're aware of the newsletter that he put out. I mean, it was absolutely...
I'm very aware. No, I know. I'm very aware of his whole history. I've played it on the show over and over again, but I'm not so sure that the hardcore conservatives would leave him at all. But that's interesting. 1-800-449-8255, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, the heart of the early bird. Jenny, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, what I want to say is I feel super bad for Newt's wife. I cannot believe that this ex-wife of his is coming out now saying all this, he left me as soon as I was diagnosed with MS. How are we to know that they were breaking up beforehand? And now...
Obviously she's doing this now to get even with him and hurt him any way she can at his most vulnerable, correct?
Yes.
All right, so what does that say about her moral character?
I think the word I want to say is a bad word, and I can't say it on the radio, but I'm really...
It's an ugly situation. Neither of them look very good today. Now, when it comes from slime like Brian Ross of ABC, what do you expect?
Of course.
What do you expect from ABC? Always Bolshevik crap.
Good thing it's on late night. I hope no one really TiVos it.
All they needed was Ted Koppel to make a reappearance.
Yeah, right.
Where is he? He's teaching civics in a junior high somewhere in Texas, probably. So you as a woman find the original Mrs. Gingrich's, revelations suspect, and you don't really care about them. But what about Gingrich himself? Forget the woman thing. Put that aside. What about him as a candidate?
I think, honestly, in the beginning, I kind of liked him because he does have a lot of experience, much more than Obama ever had or ever
can
will
he,
have.
Could he beat Obama in a general election?
I think right now he may. So many people are so disgusted. They're not going to even get out and vote. There's no more of this.
But would they vote for a man like Gingrich, put aside the woman thing, who is vulnerable in the sense that physically he is the epitome or could be the poster boy for the insider, the corrupt face of the insider?
I hate to say it. I think that he could win.
You do.
Like I said,
do you think that the average American voter would vote for an old, fat, white man over Obama?
Well,
I got to tell you, I'm very blunt in what I say. And the fact of the matter is Romney is a far more appealing candidate physically. However, Romney is a liberal Republican who may or may not differ that much from Gingrich, incidentally, at the end of the day. At the end of the day, they may have the same basic policy positions on everything. Never mind what they say in public. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. I think that, of course.
All right, well, we don't know. We don't know. Tonight's going to be very interesting, the debate. Here's a message to heart patients. Just came out from the science community. It's published in the ahajournals.org. If you are a man interested in sex and you've had a heart attack, sex is safe for most people who have suffered a heart attack or have some other kind of heart or vascular condition, as long as they take a few precautions, according to the first guidelines on the subject from the American Heart Association. Now, I'll give you the guidelines in a minute, but here's a very interesting fact that just came out. You're not going to believe this. You could have sex, even if you've had a heart attack, right? But you have a much higher risk of dying if it's with someone other than your wife. I'm not making this up. It says, you can imagine an extramarital affair might raise your blood pressure more, your heart rate will go up greater, and there'll be greater exertion during sexual encounter with someone who isn't your wife. That's what the cardiologist said. So the rate of death is higher amongst cheaters who've had heart attacks than amongst people who, this is crazy. This is a crazy study. I swear it just came out. Since people generally don't have sex for long periods of time, it's unlikely that someone will actually suffer an attack. Less than 1% of all heart attacks in the U.S. happen during sex. But all you cheaters out there, those of you who take Newt's, who think Newt's a role model, okay, dying during sex is even less common. In one study, about 0.6%, that's less than 1% of deaths, happened during sex. Did you hear this? 90% of those who died were men, of course, and 75% of those men were having extramarital sex at the time, often with a younger partner. French horn players excluded, studies found. This is an interesting study in its own way. So it's an argument for boring sex, in other words. Don't get too excited. You can still have it, just don't enjoy it. You can still have sex, just don't enjoy it too much. If you enjoy it too much, you have a higher risk of dying. That's all. It's like everything else. If you enjoy anything too much, you'll likely, you know, die. You'll die from it. Slow and steady. So don't copy Newt Gingrich with the choir and the French horn player. Okay, stick to you. This is very funny. So the people wrote bottom lines like, so if I cheat, I increase my odds of going out with a bang, someone asks. People, I love some of the comments people make about articles. It says it's okay to cheat if you don't have a heart condition. That's another analysis that somebody wrote. Unbelievable to me. So there it is. What a world we live in. It's you have to see it as a soap opera. At a certain point, you have to laugh at it all in the midst of crying about the loss of liberty and the fact that Obama and his minions have raped Lady Liberty and her cloak is now, she's nude on the island. She's lying there in tatters. Lady Liberty is crying with a tear running down her bronze face from what they've done to her. I'll be right back. Savage.
There's no question that at times in my life, partially driven by how passionately I felt about this country, that I worked far too hard, and that things happened in my life that were not appropriate. And what I can tell you is that when I did things that were wrong, I wasn't trapped in situation ethics. I was doing things that were wrong, and yet I was doing them.
All right, let's get down to brass instruments here on the Savage Nation. It's true that Calista plays the French horn, but you can't blame her. I mean, she's just an ambitious girl who fell in love with an old, fat, white man. I mean, she obviously married him for his body. There's no question Calista was attracted to Newt Gingrich because of his physical prowess and his physical looks. I mean, she was drawn to him. She couldn't help it. He was so magnetic because of his looks that she was just drawn to him and swept off of her feet. You know she was drawn to him only because of his look. By the way, that was a funny combo, the Ave Maria and a Newt Gingrich speech. You know, look, it's a rough road we're going down here in this country. It's pretty miserable times. You got a president who kills a pipeline proposal that would have created like 30,000 jobs, brought oil from Canada to the U.S. on a pipeline, kills it and says there's going to be more jobs in unemployment than there will be in the construction industry. Astounding how he gets away with it. The last I checked, Canada is not a country that has people who scream death to America. The last I knew, the Canadians have not yet produced 19 people who want to get on jets and crash them into the Empire State Building. A very good idea, bring oil from Canada, same continent, right over land, right into America, into our refineries. Instead, they're going to ship it to the west coast of Canada and send it to your friends in China. This is your Obama administration? Even the Union Democrats can't believe this guy is so tied into the solar industry that he would do a thing like this. But then we got the captain issue we haven't touched on. You talk about women. You know, there's the myth of the siren luring sailors onto the rocks, right? You know, it's Greek mythology, I believe. The sirens wooing, please come this way, and the ships go on the rocks, right? He is a captain who's seen dining with a Moldovan blonde, and allegedly she was in the pilot house with him. Now, you're a steerer. Go ahead. You're a steerer. Take the wheel. We don't know. Maybe she steered it into the rocks. It'll turn out. By the way, when he jumped in the lifeboat with the other two officers, one Greek and one Italian, by the way, if you want to know the nationalities, you have to know this, okay? Because too often you don't want... So the captain jumps in the lifeboat. He says he got through. Where was she? Where was the woman, the Moldovan? By the way, she wasn't even on the manifest. He smuggled her aboard to give her a free ride? Well, you know, what is a captain's role? You know, you've been on ships well enough to know that most captains are politicians. They're gigolos on a ship. They're supposed to make women, you know, a lot of cruising consists of widows who are alone. And the captain goes table to table and he does table hopping. He spends as much time as a socialite as he does as a captain. So that's not unusual that he was seen dining just hours before the ship ran aground. But the story now that the Italian captain was in the wheelhouse with her, that's the latest rumor coming out. I don't know whether she played the French horn. I don't know whether she was in a choir in Moldova. But this is very, very, very damning for the cruise line and for the captain. Would you like to be him this morning? There, this guy, he's going to be put in. See, the Italians don't take this lightly. He's not going to hide behind some EEOC nonsense like he had a disability called the satirism and he couldn't control himself. And he was in the, you know, in the cabin with the blonde because he has an illness called satirism. And that's why he couldn't steer the ship properly. No. In America, he could try that. He'd go to one of the dumbbells in the EEOC and probably get away with it. That he had satirism and he couldn't control himself. And his body was hunched over and he missed the, you know, missed the point.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
There's no question that at times in my life, partially driven by how passionately I felt about this country, that I worked far too hard and that things happened in my life that were not appropriate. And what I can tell you is that when I did things that were wrong, I wasn't trapped in situation ethics. I was doing things that were wrong, and yet I was doing them.
Ay, ve Maria. Ay, ve Maria. I mean, does it get any more comedic and operatic than what I'm just doing now on the Savage Nation? You know, the world will be a much dimmer place should I, you know, go the way of all old golfers, so to speak. Because believe me, if you can't make humor out of what's going on today, you are a humorless man and you don't really belong in the media. This is funny stuff. This is just rife with humor from top to bottom. Now, we could do the same with Obama giving a straight-faced speech at Disneyland, telling us how good he is for the environment and jobs after killing 37,000 jobs by killing a no-brainer pipeline that even the unions wanted. But, you know, he's not in the news right now. He gets away with this because what are you going to do? You want me to do that one? Let's see. What music can we play? Mickey Mouse music with him talking about the pipeline would be good, but we don't have to do it, you know. U.S. to probe wind tower imports from China and Vietnam. Oh, that's a good one. U.S. to probe. You want to talk about Newt Gingrich, I know that. And we know the Marianne Gingrich, right? We know the Marianne Gingrich story. We know that. We don't know, you know, the spurring wife and all that. And we talked about Calista, the choir, a singer, the French horn player, and she came to Washington and just fell in love with him for his body. He was just so appealing, she couldn't help herself. You know, I can't say whose name it is. I have a friend, he's an elderly man. And just an elderly man, not in great shape, worth a fortune. Dates 30-year-old women, he's 80. So he once said to me on the side, he said, look, he said, to thine own self do not BS. He said, that's his number one motto in life, to thine own self do not BS. He said, believe me, I know they're all after my body. You know, at least he has the sense to understand that. But then again, so where does that leave us today? What a crazy day for news. Between this, the wife, who is going to run the debate? I can't believe it's Wolf Blitzer. It's impossible to believe that they would go and let them do it to them again. How could they do this to them? Doesn't Newt know who Wolf Blitzer is with a straight face? Don't they know what he is? What a day this is. Oh, it's not him. It's Larry Kudlow. Who's Larry Kudlow? Is he the debater now? Where they dig him up from? Who is the moderator? Does anyone know who the moderator is tonight? I'm not even interested. I will not watch it. At least I don't plan on watching it. I don't know. Last night I couldn't take the news after last night. No, it's not Larry Kudlow. I don't know who Larry Kudlow is. I think I knew him. He owned a couple of car washes in Brooklyn when I was young. But we look what's going on in one day. You care to comment on this? The Newt's ex, the open marriage, Calista with the fixed face, you know? Obama at Disneyland. Does it get any better than this? I feel bad for Rick Perry. He looks like such a decent man. Air Force, ex-Air Force guy, you know, no scandals around them with women, you know? So he stumbled a little bit, forgot, you know, names of departments he closed down. Big deal. I don't think that was the reason. You know, I don't know the reason. He just didn't catch on with the general public. So he looks like a good man. I would have voted for him. I would sleep better at night with an ex-Air Force man in the White House as opposed to an ex-community organizer with a staple gun. What do you think about Gingrich? Okay, Mississippi, Kevin, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Not the Savage. The last few weeks you've been all over Gingrich. I'm no big fan of him, but some of the greatest presidents, that, or at least people deem the greatest presidents, like Kennedy or Clinton, now, I don't deem them the greatest, but a lot of people do, they've had many flaws, including infidelity. And it's just nowadays,
oh, absolutely. To err is human, to forgive divine.
Yes, sir. So all I'm saying is, with today's media coverage, especially being as slanted and biased as it is, yeah, Gingrich is going to come under it. You know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But you notice that there's no reference to any of Obama's attacks upon our freedoms or our constitutional rights. Have you noticed this?
Yes, sir. And I don't.
There's the ultimate scrutiny of every detail of every Republican candidate, while they gave him a pass on his college transcripts, Obama's college transcripts, on his, you know, I don't want to go into the birth certificate again, but where did he go to college? Who paid for his schooling? What were his grades like in high school at Punahou? Who paid for his years at Punahou? Where did he go to college? Occidental. What were his grades like? Who paid for him to go to law school? What was his senior thesis? Why was he made the editor of the Law Review? Was he such a brilliant legal scholar? These are important questions, don't you think?
I do, Dr. Savage, and I also think if any Republican candidate launched their career from a terrorist living room like Bill Ayers, like Obama did.
Oh, forget about it. Absolutely. What if a Republican had sat in the church that for 20 years the man was a Nazi? And he espoused a racial disparity and hated certain races. Do you think that man would have been made president?
No, Dr. Savage wouldn't.
No, of course. But Jeremiah Wright, that's okay. The president said he didn't listen to him for 20 years. He just sat there. Of course not. No, not only a double standard, it's an insane standard. There are no standards when it comes to Republicans.
Hey.
So, look, if it's Newt versus Obama, at least we're going to have a very, very spirited set of debates, I will tell you that. Romney is Mr. Milquetoast, and Romney, as decent a man as he is, and I'd vote for him if he's the only candidate, truthfully, I would vote for him, you know that. I'm going to back any Republican who's the candidate, no matter what. That's all there is to it, because I can't live under this regime. It's driving me crazy. I don't sleep at night. I don't eat well. I'm having nightmares. I'm waking up in the middle of the night. It's awful, just awful. I feel as though I'm living in an increasingly Soviet-style America on a daily basis. And, I mean, any Republican would have to be less dangerous to my freedoms, my personal freedoms, than what we have going on now with this corruption and this cronyism. That's how I see it. But if it was Gingrich in a final debate against Obama, Gingrich would wipe the floors up with him. You know, take what you want away from Newt and Ernie, the baggage and the this and the wife and the Callista and the French horn and Ave Maria. Put all the jokes aside. The man is a brilliant polemicist, fabulous debater, has all the facts at his fingertips. And Obama, I don't think, is as quick on the draw without a teleprompter. At least I don't think so. I'm not underestimating Obama. I think he's a very bright man, but not as bright as he is alleged to be, and nowhere near as seasoned in the capacity to debate as Gingrich. Now, with regard to Romney, I think Romney will get stepped all over by Obama, and the reason is because Romney does not have the killer instinct. Romney does not have the fire in the belly. Romney does not have the ability to fight back in a mean way. Newt's a mean guy, which is what we need. We happen to need a mean president, especially with the Islamists encircling us, with Chavez, with the others who want to eat us, and the Chinese. We need a very mean president, mean and intelligent. So Romney is a decent Christian man who forgives too easily. How do you like that? If I could floor him in any way, it's for being too decent. Do you hear what I just said to you? It's an interesting question. Romney could be flawed for being too decent. So I'd like to hear what you have to say. 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So it's John King tonight on CNN. It's not Wolf Blitzer. By the way, when Blitzer, who was born in America, born in Germany, not in Israel, but he spent many years in Israel and studied at Hebrew University of Jerusalem, where he learned Hebrew, and then he was a correspondent in Israel. In writing for several Israeli newspapers, Wolf Blitzer used the names Zev Blitzer and Zev Barak. Zev Barak, which explains his love for the president. I guess, you know, there's a lot to be said for a name. If you share a name with a president, how can you go against him? Zev Barak. So from now on, when we refer to Wolf Blitzer, we're going to call him Zev Barak. 1-800-Zev Barak. Unbelievable. You know, we're all having a good time here. We're laughing. Do you know what's at stake here? Who knows what's at stake? We've got an administration appeasing Iranian mullahs that would like to destroy us. We've got an administration appeasing the communist Chinese who are destroying us. We've got an administration who is shafting a pipeline that makes sense to everybody except the solar cronies. It's astounding what's at stake. But we're actually doing very well here in America overall in the history of humanity. I was watching. You've got to give me my 60 seconds now, please. It is my talk show. I can do what I want, but I don't want to lose your attention. I know you're interested only in the Wolf, well, I almost said Wolf Blitzer, in Newt Gingrich and Callista and the French horn and Ave Maria and that whole you know, line of fun we've been having. But last night, I couldn't sleep. I was up at 3 in the morning, so I tried not to. I found years ago when I had insomnia that the worst thing to do is lay in bed. The worst thing you can do is lay in bed with the lights off. The best thing is to turn the lights on and get up. So I turned the lights on and got up. I did some exercise. Then I was bored. I talked to the dog. He didn't want to be bothered. He looked at me like I was crazy. Are you nuts? Go back to sleep. How dare you? It's enough already. So I turned the TV on, and I was watching military history, and I could not believe it was one of those episodes of the World at War of the Russian counterattack against the Nazis. The Russians lost 20 million lives in repelling the Nazis in World War II. I had known the numbers prior to this, but it really didn't hit me the way this did, because the footage, particularly of the Russian peasant women weeping over their dead sons, and then there was a poem that they read about the dead boys, the dead Russian boys, with very graphic pictures of the dead soldiers handsome, strong, young guys. 20 million people killed by the Nazis as they withdrew. Never mind the soldiers who died in the attacks, the counterattacks against the Nazis. After their defeat at Stalingrad, the Russians were invigorated, and they were building the T-34 tank in the Urals in hidden locations, which was astonishing. One of the greatest feats in the history of humanity was moving their factories out of the cities that were under siege by the Nazis into the Ural Mountains and into the Caucasus and building tanks, building airplanes. And then when that counterattack came, the Russian boys were so invigorated, knowing that the Germans had been defeated at Stalingrad, that they went on the attack. And they had no mercy whatsoever. No mercy whatsoever for the Nazi. But the Nazi, as he withdrew, blew up one village after another, burnt the villages to the ground. Not only a slash and burn as they withdrew, but they killed every civilian in their path. Jews, communists, Russians, they didn't care. They were killing just in a slaughter, a massive slaughter. And I looked at the pictures of this. And I said, woe is me, humanity, my God, man's inhumanity to man. The weeping mothers over the graves and over the bodies, the shuddering of a mother over a dead son. You know, it came through to me like an electrical volt. You know, you read things like numbers, it means nothing. Now, picture our own boys in Iraq, in Afghanistan. Picture their mothers here. You think their grief is different? You think that the mother doesn't remember her little boy and him running on the sands, and now she has nothing but a flag and a stiff in the ground? What do you think her heart is like? And that's why I went to bat for the Marines in my editorial for the USA Today, and I'm insisting that if they take out Nidal Hassan and the Fort Hood Massacre, they're not going to publish my little 350-word essay. Because that's germane to everything that we are talking about. Why would the USA Today people choose to omit any reference to radical Muslims, the Fort Hood Massacre? All I said in the article was, and the downplaying of the Fort Hood Massacre by Major Nidal Hassan, the very same military and media that is jumping all over the Marines who peed on the corpses of the Taliban said almost nothing about the Fort Hood Massacre. In fact, I remember the chief of the army, I forget his name at the time, when somebody brought up, was this a terrorist act? I think it was Robert Gates, the defense secretary, said, I don't even want to go there. Then someone said to him, one of the news people had the nerve to say to Gates, but he chanted Allah Akbar before he went on the slaughter. Oh, I don't even want to go there, said Gates. The same politicians who are trying to kill our Marines downplay Nidal Hassan's radical Islamic connections, downplayed their own failures in the Fort Hood Massacre. And moreover, to this day, Nidal Hassan has not been brought to trial. Why? Why has he not been brought to trial? I keep asking the same question. Why do they not want to bring him to trial? Well, you know the answer. Because it will too clearly show our enemy. Our enemy within. Our enemy within is not even the radical Muslim. Our enemy within is the liberal. The liberal who looks the other way while the man is chanting Allah Akbar and signing every one of his medical reports with such a phrase. Now, could you imagine if a Christian doctor in the military started to sign his medical reports with Jesus saves or Jesus be praised? Tell me how long he'd last in the military. 1 second. And the cowards, the top brass in the army, looked the other way from Allah Akbar on medical reports. This guy was a ticking time bomb. So that's why that little line is so important in my little article. I think it's going to go up on michaelsavage.com. Odd, is it up yet? I can't talk to him directly. It must be up. 1-800-449-8255. Gentlemen, I just got this back from them. Gentlemen, I can restore the Hassan reference and trim the second sentence as you request. Headlines and taglines are at our discretion. We only use doctor for medical doctors. All right, so they're going to put back Hassan, and they're going to make believe I'm not a big talk show host. I don't care. The message is important. Okay? So look for that tomorrow in USA Today. Those of you in the Marines should go out and look for that editorial. It's supposed to be online tonight at usatoday.com. We'll see.
Savage.
could be any animal, which one would you be?
I could be any animal?
Yeah, you love animals, that's why we're here.
Probably be an elephant.
An elephant?
Yes.
Why?
They have 105,000 muscles in their trunk.
Really?
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. It's cool.
You want 105,000 muscles in your trunk?
And they're big, and they last a long time. They live a long time. And they're smart.
Good
and they're memories. Social animals.
I guarantee you that Anderson Cooper has 5,000 muscles in his trunk. All put away for a rainy day. How could you not have a good time? Look what you got tonight if you're a TV nut. You got the debates coming up in a short period of time with the only four pods standing there. Then later tonight, you got the slimy Ross, whatever his name is, of always Bolshevik crap. They're going to run the wife, the teary-eyed wife from 50 years ago. What could be better? I mean, we're approaching Argentina in our political... at least in South Korea, the two-party system, they get into punch-outs in Congress. The people enjoy that. They know both are corrupt. They know both parties are incompetent, corrupt individuals. Who else would go into politics? If you're an honest man, you don't go into politics. Or if you're intelligent enough, you find something else, some other way to make a living honestly. You don't just try to, steal it on the side at night in a toilet somewhere in Georgetown in an envelope. So they know that their parties are what they are. They know their political class is what they are. They're all liars. So when they see a fight break out in the South Korean parliament, they really beat each other up. When one of them with the suit, the Tai, leaps over the counter and Tai Chi moves and kicks and beat downs. Okay, then it winds up on the wildest moments on television. At least the people get something for their money. Wouldn't you like to see? I'm serious. Let's put it another way. Do you think a day is coming when there will actually be a physical brawl in Congress? I don't know. I doubt that that could happen, given that they're all stoned probably on Prozac. They're so doped up on antidepressants, I don't think that they have any consciousness as to what's going on, let alone the fact that the people know that they don't know what they're talking about. All right, so we're moving along right here. We're getting ready for the big debate. Debate caps game-changing day before SC vote. Analysis why Perry's campaign failed. I love this. Gingrich wanted an open marriage. Gingrich defends personal past. Perry drops out, endorses Gingrich. Santorum, delayed Iowa win, huge upset. Can he stop with vests already? If Santorum would stop with the vests, he'd have a better chance. What's with the vest look? I don't understand who advised him to. The vest is not a very appealing thing. Next, we'll see him in a Perry Como cardigan. I don't know what he's trying to. It's all hilarious. It really is. What else? California Boy 10 charged with murder. Cook says captain ordered food after the crash. What? So Italian. So unbelievable. Cruise ship's cook says captain ordered dinner after the crash. Oh, my God. Come on. I swear, they just came out. The captain of the Costa Concordia ordered dinner for himself and a woman after the ship's... that guy has real good... I'll tell you. The ship's listing and going down and he wants his pasta? I can't believe it. Mambo Italiano, hey, mambo. In an interview with GMA Network, cook Rogelio Barista said Captain Francesco Schettino ordered dinner less than an hour after the accident. Barista, the cook, said, we wondered what was going on. At that time, we really felt something was wrong. The stuff in the kitchen was falling off shelves, and we realized how grave the situation was. I like to do a voice that sounds like a translation. I like to watch movies and watch translation. Captain Schettino ordered dinner around 10:30 p.m. Friday, Barrister said. Author said the ship struck the rocks at 9:41 p.m. Barrister said, I have 12 years' experience as a cook on a cruise ship. I've even witnessed fire, so I wasn't that scared. But I did wonder, though, what the captain was doing. Why was he still there? How is this possible? Schettino's brother-in-law defended him in an Italian newspaper Thursday. Schettino managed to avoid a tragedy. It could have been worse, said Maurilio Russo in a Corriere della Sera, and he denied that the captain had abandoned ship. He was not running away. He came down from the ship to survey the damage, Russo said. Even the captain says he fell in the lifeboat. Oh, boy, this is bad. He can't get away with this, can he? You don't want to be him. Cruise ship's cook says captain ordered dinner after crash. The question is, this is really the question, and you know what I'm going to say now. What did he order? I'd pay $1,000 to learn right now what he ordered as the ship's going down. What could this Italian captain have wanted? I mean, because this is very Italian to eat in the middle of a tragedy. It actually shows the guy as he is. The guy strikes a rock. He knows his life's over. See, figures he may as well have one good last meal because he ain't going to have another one, I'll tell you that. He knows he's going away for a long time. So he's with the broad, and he orders a he orders a great meal from the kitchen. He figures the last meal the chef's going to serve, it'd probably be a great meal. All right, give me the good shrimp. Give me the shrimp we just put on tonight. Don't give me the frozen stuff that we're supposed to serve off Pretoria 3 weeks from now, right? I mean, he's going to get the good scampi. It reminds me of another story about Italians in the sea that you don't know about. I told the story once in my 16 years on the radio. You want to hear it? What always impressed me, World War II, submarine fleets. In the beginning of the war, the Italians were the only navy that had large conning towers on their submarines. They were very large, and they were so large, they were built large enough to hold a dining table for the captain and the officers to eat a full meal while at sea in a submarine. They wanted a full meal on a dining table in a dining room, so they built a large conning tower, which slowed the submarine down. So once the Italians went in an alliance with the Nazis, the Germans went crazy. They made them cut the conning towers off the Italian submarines and put on smaller conning towers to be more proficient and more efficient undersea. That's a true story for those of you in the military history world. That's one story. I also like the fact that of all of the submarine fleets, the Italians, after they sank a ship, always picked up survivors from the merchant ships. I don't know if you know this. They considered it very unmanly to leave the survivors at sea. But after the Nazi bastards got control of them, they said not only would you not pick them up, you're going to shoot them in the water. That to show you the difference in nationality at that time. Of course, everything's together today. I mean, it's all over. World War II's been over a long time. Don't get me wrong. I drive a Mercedes and a Cadillac and a Chevy and an Italian car and another German car. So to me, it doesn't matter. But the point is, it's a piece of interesting history. The captain of the Costa Concordia ordered dinner for himself and a woman after the ship struck rocks off of Italy's coast. I can't believe this. We wondered what was going on. No, it's really very funny. I've got to see the cartoon of this. What did they eat? Is there any... Well, look, you can't handle a crisis on an empty stomach. Give the guy a break. That's number one. Cymbal shot. How could the guy be as bad as all these stories are painting him out to be, right? Maybe it's all rumors and gossip now, right? I mean, we got to wait for the investigation. As you know, Italy is not a corrupt nation, and you know the investigation is going to be as honest as the land is shaped like a boot. Italy's known for its food and its art. It's not known for navigation. Let's be clear as well, okay? There were navigators in history, in the Italian history, of course. In Italian history, there were great navigators, but they're primarily known for food, for art, right? Architecture, not for navigation. Do you think he was dead drunk? And, yeah, it's possible that he was screwing around with the Moldovan girl, and he was so drunk that when the ship hit the rocks, he didn't know where he was, and he figured, all right, you know, everything will be okay, and the ship looked tilted only because I had too much to drink, so he asked the chef for dinner, right? Isn't that possible? He probably thought he was so smashed that the ship didn't actually hit anything. He heard the things falling off the shelves in the kitchen, and he figured it was just the ordinary clumsy kitchen help. That's all. He didn't know what really happened. And secondly, you could look at him at another way. He's very brave in the sense that he saved food from being wasted. The food didn't go down with the ship. Think about that. He was trying to be environmentally sensitive, right? He could, there's many things he could have done, but something's so wrong with this picture. Wined and dined, and 39, that's the angle of the ship. He wined and dined and 39. So how can you make a joke about this? I'm not making a joke about tragedy. Give me a break. Stop looking for an opportunity to attack me. 17 minutes and 14 seconds to go. A tick-tock until the big debate. Who would you rather not be tonight in the debate? Who do you think is going to be the most nervous? Who has the most to lose? There's only one answer. You know, there's only one answer to this question. Romney. If Romney does a milquetoast, he's finished. It's a history repeating itself again. I keep saying Romney is a very decent, moral, good man. I forget his politics for a moment. He's a good man, right? And he doesn't have the killer instinct. Newt is a mean SOB, always goes for the jugular. And in that sense, he'd be a better president than Newt, than Mitt, because we need a vicious president to save us from the Marxists within and the fascists without. Cougar mascot deemed offensive to women. A school district says that although the students voted for the term cougar for the name of their school or a team, the term could be taken in a derogatory manner. You see the world we're living in, what the children are being raised to? Cougar mascot deemed offensive to women. You see the lunatics in the educational business? I can't believe this. A Utah school district decided not to select a cougar as the mascot of a new high school, partly because school officials and some parents believe the word is disrespectful to women. I can't believe the insanity of this. The insanity of our nation. I don't think any nation on earth has ever been as insane as ours is right now. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I confess, I am excited to see Mickey. It's always nice to meet a world leader who has bigger ears than me. It is great to be here. It is rare that I get to do something that Sasha and Malia envy me for.
All right, you know, okay, it's enough already. Using his children for a campaign stop and a fundraiser? Sorry, foul ball. I thought that first children were not to be part of the political conversation. I have nothing negative to say about these wonderful children, but I wish he would leave his children out of it. I don't like him using his children as props. I think it's not fair. I think it's wrong, frankly, but that's not a big deal. Much bigger deal is the NDAA on New Year's Eve. Much bigger deal is the corruption in the solar industry. Much bigger deal is the cancellation of the Keystone XL pipeline from Canada. Can you imagine anybody in their right mind? Democrats were for it. The unions were for it. It would have created 17 to 30,000 jobs in terms of the collateral jobs as well. Bringing oil from Canada to the United States refineries. Astounding that he doesn't get impeached for a thing like this at a time like this. To me, that's an impeachable offense, by the way. Incidentally, you want me to say that again? You can put aside all of the other nefarious deeds that this man has been associated with. Here we have an oil crisis, a currency crisis, an energy crisis, with a partial solution. Not a total solution, but a partial solution. Why would he not go ahead full bore with the Trans-Canada pipeline? Why? Don't give me that environmental crap. It was the Friends of the Earth who were for canceling this. They're one of the most extremist radical groups on the planet. They're not even a legitimate environmental group. They're an extremist environmental group. I'm a bigger environmentalist than all of them put together in terms of what I've done to actually save the Earth. So I don't need to be lectured to by a bunch of academics who've never done anything to save the Earth. The Friends of the Earth are a strictly political, environmental extremist group, and they're the ones who congratulated Obama for killing the pipeline deal. Now, what does that tell you about a president, that he would cater to such a small radical constituency and give the middle finger to his own party? What does that say about this man? Who is he listening to? Okay, so you see, there are much bigger stories than Obama and Disneyland or Newton and his French horn player. That's all. Let's take some calls. Linda, New York, WOR, go ahead, please.
Michael, absolutely love your show. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to comment on Newt Gingrich. I absolutely dislike him. I've grown to dislike him more over the past couple of weeks. He's, to me, a serial adulterer. An impeached House Speaker came out, and on one side of the aisle, he'll say that it's social right-wing engineering to follow Paul Ryan's budget plan. He supported the liberal Republican candidate in New York 23 until she was bumped out of that spot for a conservative. You don't know if it's a certain day of the week and the moon is in a certain position. Newt is a conservative. On another day, he's a liberal sitting with...
So in other words, he's a waffler along the lines of all of them. But what do you think of Romney?
I like Romney, and I like Romney. I know they're saying he's liberal and not conservative, but they're using his governorship as that basis for that comment. Otherwise, when he went into the Olympics that were failing, he is a conservative, common-sense businessman.
He's also a decent man. He's also a decent man. He's also a family man. He has no scandals attached to his name. And I would sleep better at night knowing his position on radical Islam as opposed to that of Obama.
I would sleep better at night knowing he was in the Oval Office because he's a man of character, strength, and you can trust him.
Right. Well, the people who hate him the most are the various and sundry extremist subgroups in the United States of America who have found their man in Obama. There's no question about it that Obama represents all of these extremist subgroups. He doesn't really represent mainstream America as he pretends to be, but he's a fabulous presenter. There's no question about it. So you're definitely not a Newt fan. You choose Romney. Okay, last question. If it was Newt versus Obama, would you go for a Newt or not?
I would have to, because Obama, as you said, should be impeached now. God knows where situation will be in before the
That's
end.
Right. See, if the Republicans were a viable alternative party or a viable opposition party, they would have impeached him several times now. The NDAA signed New Year's Eve, with the help of John McCain, incidentally, is an impeachable offense because it violates the Constitution. That's number one. But the pipeline is something the average man can understand. Why would he cancel a job-creating, oil-producing a pipeline such as this when it poses absolutely no environmental threat whatsoever? None whatsoever. I heard the same crap back when the Alaska pipeline was being built. The very same lying hysterics who were in business then are still in business as environmental pressure groups. They said that the Alaska pipeline would destroy the tundra. Remember that? I remember. I've been around a long time. The pipeline's going to run hot oil over the tundra. It's going to melt the tundra, and the caribou are going to get mixed up as they try to cross their traditional open spaces, and they're not going to breed, and the babies are going to be born with stillbirths and three eyes and 18 noses. All right, so what has actually happened now that the Alaska pipeline has been built 30 years ago? What has happened is the caribou huddle around the pipeline. Why? Because they're warm-blooded creatures, and they like hot oil rather than a cold tundra. It's like a shelter for them. So on a real miserable, horrible day, where do you think the caribou are? They're not running around on their homeland, the tundra, scrapping out a piece of lichen. They're hanging around underneath the pipeline, sheltered from the blizzard, and getting a little warmth. So they were exact opposite of what the Schmendricks in the environmental business said would happen. Happens the same here. The pipeline, the sky is falling. I knew that this was a complete and total ruse by the extremists when some actress from the 30 years ago came out saying this is the end of her life if they build a pipeline. Who was it? The one who played the, I forget who, huh? Daryl Hannah, could you imagine? She became an environmental wacko, following in the footsteps of so many of them whose careers are over and whose derrieres have collapsed. They suddenly find the true religion of the environment. It's unbelievable to me. I have a quotient on that one, which is astounding. It always holds up. The lower the LD, the lower the derriere, the higher the liberal quotient. The lower the LD, the higher the LQ. And she's not the first one. But as time and gravity catches up with the beauties, and they look at themselves and they realize it's all over. Look at Brigitte Bardot, once the most beautiful woman in the world. Look what she became. Wow, did she go overboard. You don't want to see her anymore. Some people should have the decency to not be seen again. That's what the burqa was invented for. That was what the full burqa was invented for. That's what the burqa with eye slits was invented for. That should be a costume that's sold on Sunset Boulevard for the... But here we are, a few minutes now. Countdown, 37 seconds, 36 seconds. The podiums, they're coming out now. Wolf, do you see them, John? I see them arriving. There he is. He's wearing a blue suit and a red reptile. He has a white shirt, and the other one has a cardigan with a suit, and the other one has cut his nose hair, and this one didn't trim his ear hair. Oh, and there's Newt Gingrich coming out, and there's his wife, Callista. She's sitting in the back with the French. There I see her. She's singing Ave Maria for him. I'm with you, honey, and there we are. Now going to go through it again. Here, another one. Debate after debate after debate after debate. Let's get it on already. Let's get it over with. Let's see where we're at. Give me a break already.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
big news today is the Gingrich wife saying he wanted an open marriage. Oh, well, I guess it'll drive his ratings up in the coastal cities. People don't even realize he's liable to become the darling of Hollywood now. But, you know, in the bigger question, it's the moral integrity question. Here we have real problems. Our civil liberties have been degraded by Obama, the National Defense Authorization Act, SOPA, etc. We have a worldwide debt problem. Our dollar is facing extinction. So what we need is an honest candidate who wants to serve America, not themselves. But as we well know, actors and politicians are fabulous liars. Can we afford to reelect a liar as commander-in-chief when we see what Obama has done to this country? Newt is a very smart and a very intelligent man. But he thinks that by admitting his errors, people will forgive him. But, you know, smart people are not necessarily of better moral character. Is he lying? Is he a different person compared to the ambitious politician that we see him to be? Do you think he'll reduce the power of the executive branch if he's elected? I don't. Or do you think he'll curtail judicial power in favor of the presidency and legislate with executive orders because he thinks he's so smart? The problem is the so-called new Newt of 2012 wants the same kind of government that the old Newt wanted, progressivism and cronyism. I think Newt is a bad choice, which leads us to some questions, which are all on michaelsavage.com, which I'll get to in a minute. I wrote an editorial for USA Today, which allegedly is going to run tomorrow, in honor of the U.S. Marines, to defend the U.S. Marines. I don't know whether they're going to try and edit it, and we're going to have a fight over that, and I won't let them publish it, but I'm going to read it to you. They asked me to take the side of defending the Marines because they had heard my show here. U.S. Marines honor desecrated by U.S. media, by Dr. Michael Savage. Here's what I wrote. Most of the men in the media, the same journalists who are orchestrating the attack on American Marines who allegedly urinated on Taliban terrorists they killed in battle, have never been in a fist fight, let alone a firefight. And yet here they are piling on the real men who have the guts to go into combat against 15th century radical Islamist throwbacks to face a barbaric enemy eye to eye, blade to blade, bullet to bullet. The piling on our Marines by the media has done far more damage to the morale of our fighting men than our soldiers' actions. And yet we hear Marine Corps Commandant General John Amos calling the act inconsistent with our high standards of conduct, and then whining about our commitment to, quote, upholding the Geneva Convention, the laws of war, and our own core values. This in the face of Taliban atrocities, car bombings, beheadings, the murder of women and children, that flout the Geneva Convention and yet are routinely ignored by the media and our military higher-ups, who also, by the way, downplayed the Fort Hood massacre by Muslim Major Nidal Hassan. Our fighting men must be supported at all costs at a time like this.
We find candidates like Newt Gingrich who simply want to throw fuel and matches and fire to develop sort of an explosiveness in this country that is unnecessary. To suggest that President Obama is the food stamp president has underlying suggestions.
Wow, you know how much that irritates me. Well, imagine how your throat will get this winter without Pine Brothers softish throat drops. That's right. I'm talking about Pine Brothers softish throat drops we all grew up with. They're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors. Pine Brothers has been a trusted brand since 1870. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothersyum.com. Let's go to New York City on WOR. Time is short. Jay, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. You've been saying for such a long time that liberalism is a mental disorder, and I want to give you an example that I heard that really reminded me of that. I heard on another station, a progressive, saying that we should devote as much attention to Christian fanaticism and Christian radicalism as far as terror attacks go as we would to Islamic terrorism.
Now, that's the latest thing. That's coming from the Muslim fanatics who are in the Homeland Security Department. That's the official line of the federal family under Big Sis. He figured out that if you can bash Christians, you can curry favor with the Muslims, you know what I mean? And there's an awful lot of Muslims voting for Obama these days because his middle name ain't Christ. His middle name is Muhammad. See, I mean, his middle name ain't Muhammad nor Christ. I mean, his middle name, as you well know, is Hussein. And so, therefore, you got to understand where the numbers are. You're asking me another question, which is what causes liberalism, the mental disorder? Isn't that your real question?
I mean, essentially, I mean, when I heard this...
Well, what causes liberalism is the desire to be loved. Liberals generally want to be loved by everybody. They don't want anyone to dislike them.
I want to be loved by you, just you, nobody else but you.
And it is. And by the way, most liberals are nice people. Most of them are very nice people. They don't bother anybody. They want to be left alone. And they figure that if they stay out of your life, you'll like them. And they'll, you know, basically they're good. And their idea of a conservative is a Nazi. They think that most Republicans secretly have SA or SS uniforms and a picture of Hitler in their living room. And this, of course, is an example of the insanity of liberalism in its extremes, just as there are extremes on the conservative side, as exemplified by, I don't know who, really, I don't even know of any extremists anymore. I think they've all left the right side. They're all leftists today. But nevertheless, the fact is that liberals have this horrible prejudice against any Republican, assuming... Look at it this way. Most liberals think of them, try to visualize what a liberal is. In the form of a woman, it would be Larry David. In the form of a man, it would be Larry David. In the form of a woman, it would be Larry David and drag. That would be a woman liberal who at every turn, every chance he gets, he bashes Christians, the cross, or Christianity, and assumes that any Republican is a Nazi. This is a product of growing up, in my opinion, in a kind of a labor front home in New York City. As a child, oilcloth on the floor. The father worked in the ILGWU, even though he was a man. He was in the needle trades one way or the other. And hated the owners and thought that one day there would be a workers' revolution and the workers would run the country. Well, take a look at every country where the workers have taken over and you'll see what happens when workers take over. I don't want to go down that road. So that's it. Basically, liberals are nice people, but they're mentally deranged at a certain point.
Savage.
WOR Ralph, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
You asked the rhetorical, Michael, you asked the rhetorical question, how stupid we are as a people out here. Well, by and large, we're pretty stupid because this man, despite what he does, Michael, will win big in 2012. Mark my words, because the grand scheme, which you pointed out many a time, 8 years Dem, 8 years Republican, we're right on schedule for four more years of this guy. And that's the plain truth, Michael.
Well, that's a generic statement. Do you have any idea how he's going to pull it off? Because I do.
Well, I think what you just said about Romney, the type of he's the most likely candidate. Let's face it.
Yes.
And he just does not have the courage or whatever it takes to confront him the way you just outlined.
I would say that Romney is too polite. He's a check pants Republican, country club Republican. He doesn't have the fire in the belly. He's not a real fighter. He may be intelligent. He may be good. He's a fine man. He's a good family man. But that doesn't make for a good leader. And I don't think he has the guts, frankly, to stand up to Obama.
I couldn't agree more. But I'll tell you this. The Biden with his comments offended me to such an extent. You know, it's ironic. We can't call the terrorists, the actual terrorists, terrorists. But yet Biden comes out and calls these great American people who are doing the right thing. He dares to use that word terrorism.
Biden should be forced to step down. He should be thrown out of office for this. He's known as a loose cannon. He's known for shooting his mouth off. But this, I think, has gone so far over the edge. You know, you touched on a raw nerve for me. This government, this corrupt government, won't call the Islamo-fascist terrorists. They call them everything but terrorists. And yet they call the Tea Party people terrorists. So I ask you then, who is the real enemy of the middle class in this country?
Well, we hear them every day. I heard the main culprit the just this afternoon. But let me tell you, Michael, in my circle, I work in the arts here in the city in Manhattan. The allegiance to this man is unwavering. He can do no wrong. I don't care if he robbed a bank in broad daylight.
Right.
These people would turn their back and they
yes,
would
yes, I understand would... that's because he's a far-left radical cool guy. And let's not forget there's a racial element in what you're talking about. Everyone wants to look the other way. But that's a huge element in his popularity amongst the elites. Am I right about that?
Well, you know you are, and you know they
well, because I know how they think, and I know the knee-jerk liberal, and I know exactly what they react to. They think that they're independent of mind, but in fact, they're the most conformist amongst all of us. The liberal is a very conforming being. They are afraid to say the obvious. They are afraid to speak out against the pack mentality, and they generally are knee-jerk in almost all their responses.
They could never operate amongst their cronies if they were to tell the truth. You see, because it's a little club, you know. They have to go back and face their.
Do you actually think Steven Spielberg wants to pay higher taxes? For example, let's go to the top of the heap. You think Katzenberg and Spielberg want to pay more taxes on the billions that they make?
No, but at their parties, at their elitist parties, they have to show their face so they can't come out and tell the truth. You understand that?
Wait. Spielberg was just seen in Sardinia aboard his 200 and some foot yacht. Let's start with that. The man earned it. He has a yacht over 240 feet, and on it he had some of his friends from Hollywood, including his adopted goddaughter, Gwyneth Paltrow. So he's leading the high life, and he earned it, okay? Brilliant director, very popular director. Do you think he wants to give up his yacht for Obama's dreams?
Of course not. But, you know, it's so deep in the psyche, Michael. It's so deeply ingrained.
Do you think that cheapskate stereotype, despicable disgrace of the Jews, Larry David, wants to pay an extra dime in taxes?
I think that Larry David can make me laugh once in a while, I'll be honest with you. But I tell you, they're so politically stupid.
Larry David is the epitome of the self-hating Jew. Larry David is the Stepan. You remember the character I talked about, the black actor in the 1940s, Stepan Fetchit? Remember that reference?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, Stepan Fetchit made a mockery of the black male, and the white people loved him for it because he reinforced negative stereotypes. So Woody Allen does it. Larry David does it. They reinforce all the negative stereotypes of the Jew. And this is exactly what the Jewish people should avoid, but instead they go in flocks to laugh at themselves.
Well, it's a darn shame, Michael. And like I said before, you outlined it so perfectly when you say about that it's all preordained. 8 years Dem, 8 years.
Yeah, well, all right, that is true, but I don't think I've described what the Dems are going to do in order to make sure that they win this time. Yes, the Republicans are putting up a straw dog again in Romney. There's no question about it. You remember the last election, what happened? Romney was leading the pack, and then through some kind of secret votes during the primary, that old warhorse McCain, the shame, suddenly beat Romney and Romney disappeared. Do you remember that little maneuver?
I sure do. Very fishy.
All right. Very fishy. Now, why did they pick McCain to run against Obama? They knew that McCain would lose. They knew that no matter what McCain did, even if he surged in the polls, eventually they could rely upon him to shoot himself in the foot, and he did that. He did just that. Remember, he did it over and over again? Remember in the last debate, people were begging him at town hall meetings, go tough on Obama, and he got up and he said, oh, he's no Marxist. He's a nice family man. He's a nice man. Do you remember McCain doing that?
I certainly do. And that there's and you know, if he had just turned, you know, if we were ready to we needed someone like that. Even though he was a little over the hill, Michael, you know, a little past his prime. But you know, I would have preferred him over what we have right now. But you know what?
Well, I voted for McCain because at least I knew where he was born. At that time, we knew he served the country, albeit I said last week it was he who set the rocket off on the forest door, which killed so many men and almost sank the ship. It was an accident. He hit the wrong lever, and he did serve 5 years in the Hanoi Hilton and suffered violently for it. And you have to have sympathy for the man. But nevertheless, we would have been better off, I think, even with a quisling Republican, McCain, rather than this fellow named Obama. But look, that's past history. What I'm saying is, the past predicts the future. They're going to do it again. They're going to either run Romney, who will lose, or they'll run someone like Romney, who will lose. There's no question that a real revolutionary conservative cannot get to the winner's gate in the Republican Party. It's impossible.
It'll be some milquetoast candidate who will be up there just to get shot down again, and we're in for another 4 years.
In other words, Bush had. Did you hear my thing on limousines? Bush had 238 limos. Obama, the man of the poor who likes to cut the costs, raised it to 412 limousines, and each limousine cost the taxpayers $4.6 million in order to buy its security, gas, parking, insurance, etc. How can the government spend $4.6 million per limousine? That alone could sink his candidacy. I could beat him in a debate with that fact alone, because I wouldn't let it go. You take two or three facts like this and you don't let them go like a pit bull. You keep repeating them in the debate. No matter what he says, no matter what the tricksters who are the so-called moderators throw at you, you go back to this last question. No matter what they say to you, you say, no, I'm not moving on. I want him to answer that question. And I don't care what you say. You're part of the government media complex. So ask it all you want because I'm not answering it. Make Obama answer how he spends $4.6 million on a limo. And let me tell you something else, Mr. Moderator. Shut your trap. Because I represent the American people and you're just a pimp. Now answer this. How come General Electric paid no taxes on $5.3 billion, Mr. Moderator? It would bring the House down. He'd win the election, right or wrong?
Well, they'll go so esoteric and so out of the... so intellectualize it to such an extent. They can't simplify it like you just did. That's the problem. If a plain man with brains in his head would get up there and just say what's evident to all of us and just be forthright in the way he speaks, he could destroy him. But
the plain truth would win in any debate against this sophist.
Savage.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. It fooled me, we can't get fooled again.
That the whole thing? That was the former president to see the state the country was in. He couldn't even remember the limerick, but... I mean, thank God this guy at least uses a teleprompter where he can remember a joke. I mean, which way do you want? A guy who couldn't remember a joke and didn't use a teleprompter? Or a guy who uses a teleprompter and doesn't even tell jokes? How does this country run? How in the world does this country run? Does it run anymore? Kane says wife didn't know about friendship, financial assistance, the ginger white. That's the end of it. It's the end of it for me. In other words... You could say they made up the thing about the women, right, up to that. Sir. But now here's Kane himself saying that he repeatedly gave Ginger White, which is an interesting, by the way, you know, like life imitating art. Ginger White, excuse me. He gave her money to help her with month-to-month bills and expenses without telling his wife. Now, I want to ask you something. If you're a married woman and your husband is an upstanding American citizen, a Republican, and a church pastor, and you find out that he gave a woman money for month-to-month bills and expenses and he didn't tell you, what would you assume about your husband? Tell me. Come on, let's be real here. How in the world? He did it because he's a kind man? Kane said that in about 70 text messages she sent him in 1 month, White was asking for financial assistance. She was out of work and had trouble paying her bills, and I had known her as a friend. So I'm exhausted from this. He says, I'm a soft-hearted person. I'm actually exhausted from this. I'm drained. Do you know that I'm actually drained from the election? How many years ahead of it is now till it goes? It seems like it's been going on since 1914. This is like the guns of August. How long has this been going on, this election? I'm exhausted. Everyone's dropping out except Obama. No one's running against them. They're very smart, the Democrats. You know, if I were to set the system up, he'd have to be on the debate stage as well. In other words, every time there's a Republican debate, he'd have to be up there with him, like one of the guys next to Rick Santorum or whoever's Bonnie Frank. Who's running now as a Republican? Has Bonnie Frank yet shifted sides? I expect any day to wake up and Bonnie Frank will be a Republican running for the presidency. I don't know what to make of it anymore. It's like a pastiche of insanity. All right, so all we can do is just watch the world go by. Eviction paper served on Kane accuser for $7,500 back rent. All right, let's say she's a grifter. Let's say she's a grifter, right? Oh, this is Sharon Bialik, the human doe. Oh, she got evicted. That last one who claimed that he pushed his head that she was in a car with Herman Cain when he pushed her head and the car lurched to the left when all of a sudden her head was in the area. And she was by Kane in the car while they were driving along. She once worked for the national restaurant chain. And she went for a ride with him. And the next thing you knew, her head, and the next thing, the head lurched and hit a bump. And the head was in. She don't know how. And he claims it was a bump in the road. So that's the one who got knocked out of the court paper. Partial records of the House of Representatives vote on the immigrant. Did you hear what they did with immigration while you slept? We're arguing over nothing. I almost fainted when I saw this story. This has been one of the worst radio days of my life. Between Newt Gingrich surging and Debbie Wasserman Schultz having a new hairdo, and the Muslim Brotherhood coming to the ascendancy in Egypt, because I told you it would. And then I read a visa bill was passed in the House by a vote of 389 to 15 to allow more Mexicans to make the U.S. a home. And I look at which Republicans voted for it. I almost threw up. Rohrabacher and Culberson joined the Democrats, Loretta Sanchez, Wasserman Schultz, Maxine Waters, Henry Nostrelman, and Pelosi. I swear to you, Culberson, one of my favorite guys, joined along with Nadler, Jackson Lee, Pelosi, Rangel, and Sanchez, and Wasserman Schultz, Stalin, and Maxine Waters, and Nostrelman, to make sure that more Mexicans can make the U.S. a home. I don't know whether it's on purpose or what's going on here. Well, look, all I can do as a talk show is to try to sort through all of this and say that it's very depressing out there. It is. Maybe it's me. Maybe a long ride back. I never saw people drive like they do here my entire life. I have never. I don't know how this goes on. You drive on an interstate here in Florida, like from Miami north. You got morons driving 120 miles an hour, cutting off within an inch of your bumper, and swerving into the next lane. Where's the Florida Highway Patrol? I'm sorry, they're being arrested by Miami police. Now that's where they are, right? I forgot. Now that's what's going on. It is like a cowboy scene out here. It really is. But Miami's a beautiful city unto itself in its own way. I don't know why they call it one of the most depressing cities. I think what it is, if you add up the incidence of suicide and the amount of antidepressants prescribed, because it's a very large aging population. It's like the elephant's burial grounds. They come out either on Medicare. It's free, right? And the mill, the doctor mill. You want depressant? We got antidepressant. What else? You got a prostate trouble? Here, take a prostate pill. Your lower back hurts? Here, take a back pill. Carter's big pill. Carter's big back pill. What else you need? 6-8 pills? Because the pharmaceutical companies want more drugs prescribed. The doctors don't care. They're quacks. They get paid to do it. The government loves it because it builds up the amount of taxes they can steal from us. So it's not that they're really using them. I mean, maybe they're flushing. Or maybe they're taking them back to Flushing, New York, and selling them on the street outside junior high schools. You know, they vote in several different cities, most of the people, with most of the folks down here. The New Yorkers who live in the southern Florida area. They vote in 2 or 3 places in every election. Remember I did that thing many years ago? I was down here during the election. I forget what year, 1980? No, I wasn't even radio. 2000, remember? I did a Beowulf. You got to dig that up for my new listeners. As my show surges, I've got to remember there's all sorts of new listeners who never heard me. And they have to hear the genius that they've missed over these years. It's been going on since 1994. But in 2000, I was in Florida during the election. Wasn't Gore running against somebody? I forget who. Carter's little liver. And it was Gore versus whatever, Bush, right? And that, oh, that's right. That's where there was the big thing with the Cuban guys with the white shirts threatened to beat up the lawyers from NYU who were rigging the vote. Remember that when they ran out of the booths? All of the boys from NYU got terrified that the Cuban guys in white shirts showed up. They got so scared, they got on a short line bus and ran right back to the Bronx. And that's of course, that's how Bush won. It was one gang fighting the other. So I wrote a poem called Can of Worms, but I can't believe what's going on down here now. The amount of fraud in Florida. Medicare fraud. You read about it every day, these doctors. They pour in from Queens, Brooklyn, and many of them went to like medical school in Guadalajara. You know the kind of doctor? You know that kind of doctor? We had a kid in the neighborhood who couldn't go to regular medical school. All right, so look, he wanted very badly to be a doctor. So where'd he go to school? Guadalajara, Mexico. You know how good the doctors are in Mexico. I mean, this is top of the line. If you can't get into Harvard Medical School or Stanford or, you know, Columbia, what you do is the next best thing is you go to Guadalajara Medical School. And then you get a medical degree and you come back and you probably schmear someone and you become a... So he comes back, this kid. He was like the Schmendrick of the neighborhood, a fat schlub. But I got to hand it to him. He wanted to be a doctor and nothing could deter him. So he went to Mexico. He got a medical degree. He got a license somehow and became a plastic surgeon. He retired many years ago. I have no how many people he may have butchered who put a nose on their behind. I have no idea what he did. You know the kind of plastic surgeon he must have been. If you went in to have your eyes lifted, you probably wound up with your nose on the top of your forehead. But nevertheless, he had a career from the Guadalajara Institute. But this is what I'm saying. This is the kind of doctors that you find down here in Florida, in South Florida, by and large. Which is why I don't want to ever get sick when I'm down here. God forbid. There's no, I don't see, one thing I don't see down here. You know what I want to talk about for 1 second now that my mind is working again for, my mind is running now on about two cylinders. I have a V16 engine in my head. Right now I'm running on like two cylinders. Something's wrong. I know something broke down here in Florida. Maybe a tsetse fly bit me or something. I don't know what's wrong. My brain is not functioning. It's not firing. I don't know what's wrong. Nothing particular happened. It couldn't have been just the ride down. Maybe it was bad fish. It could have been the fish that I had last night wasn't good. Oh, here's another thing. It was like someone, we had dinner cooked in the house, and we were all eating like the top of the line. And then we found out afterwards that the green beans came from Whole Foods, and the package, if you looked at it, came from China. Half the food that we ate, although it came from Whole Foods, was from China. The origin was China. It just shows you. You know, how do we know how much poison is in our system from this the world global economy, the garbage that you feed, put in your mouth. You know what you get in a restaurant? Like tonight, when this show is over, for example, I'm on the East Coast now, which is a freak out for me. Because normally on the West Coast, I start at 3, I'm, you know, over at 6. Here I start at 6, I'm over at 9. So I have to immediately jump in a car and race to a restaurant. Almost nobody is open after 9:30 that I want to go to. I like simple restaurants. Already everyone's asleep. So I get to the Chinese restaurant tonight when they're about to close. What do you think they're going to give me? The freshest shrimp in the bottle? The freshest shrimp, rather, in the barrel? But I'm looking forward to a Hunan restaurant I'm going to go to down here that my mother used to go to. God rest her soul. You know what I'm saying? She loved it. I didn't know. This is a funny thing to find out. It may be genetic, and I hope it is. Because she lived to 88, God bless her. Not very good the last few years. But the dad, he died young. So I hope I got more of her genes. You know what I'm saying? The thing is, I'm a Hunan food lover. And in the San Francisco area, we happen to be blessed with a very large Chinatown. And I'm a big fan of Chinese food, even though I complain about it. Because I come out, my lips are sticking together. It's like someone put crazy glue on my lip. I start to feel like Barney Frank when I walk out of a Chinese restaurant in San Francisco, if it's a bad one. I start to feel like, has anybody got some kind of some glue remover? Because I just had an egg foo young in San Francisco. My lips don't seem to separate. I don't understand. But that's how it is. But if you go to a good one, they don't stick. So I go to a good one, which doesn't have glue in the broth. It's a Hunan food. So the Hunan is very good. So what do I know? Years later, as time goes by, in all the years I communicated with my lovely mother about Chinese and Italian food, never once did she mention her favorite restaurant was a Hunan restaurant in this area. So in deference to her, after she passed away when I came down here, I started to go to her restaurant to try to sit in the booth she sat in. I come down here once or twice a year, and I go to that restaurant. I know the food stinks. Sucks on dry ice. The worst. But because she went there, because it's somewhat familial, and most of the customers are either 85 in the 85 to 95 bracket, the men look like they're from the moon, like moon people. They're like short. They're like 5'1". They all shrivel up, but they're still eating that stuff. And what I love, what's most beautiful about it is they're still couples in their 90s. Together. I don't know how that works. They didn't kill each other with a stroke or a heart attack from the way they talk to each other either. You ever get next to one of them behind the locks line next door at the deli, you could get killed altogether. I don't care how small they are. But it's kind of cute to see older people in their late 80s or 90s who are still couples in a disposable society where guys throw girls away and girls throw guys away. There's something beautiful. And not only that, that they have a genetic capacity to eat this bad Chinese food and not get a coronary occlusion, unless there's something they're taking here that I don't know about yet, some kind of fish special trick fish oil from Palm Beach. I don't really know what it is. Nevertheless, that's where I'm going to go to eat tonight. with about 2 minutes to spare by the time I get there. And my lips will stick together, and I shall sleep like a baby. I'll be right back.
Savage.
There's no question that at times in my life, partially driven by how passionately I felt about this country, that I worked far too hard, and that things happened in my life that were not appropriate. And what I can tell you is that when I did things that were wrong, I wasn't trapped in situation ethics. I was doing things that were wrong, and yet I was doing them.
We have a dream interpreter on the phone, Trinity from Sacramento. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Trinity.
Hi there.
Trinity, yeah. So yeah. What makes you able to interpret dreams?
I'm working on my master's degree right now. I'm just finishing up my master's in consciousness and transformative studies, and I'm specializing in dream work.
What's your bachelor's degree in?
Accounting.
No, don't laugh. I understand. You made a career shift. So you went into this field because what? You're an intuitive type of personality?
Yes. Absolutely.
Would you say that you come from would you say you come from a family of women who could see around corners, so to speak?
You know, my family didn't talk about it much. So, no, I don't come from a whole family of that. It's just been my own gift.
As a child, were you able to see things others couldn't see?
Yes.
In what way? Give me an example, if you don't mind.
Oh, probably when I was 9 years old, I saw a guardian in my hallway, a man in all black, and, you know, it was quite scary at first until I realized he was there to protect me. He wasn't there to harm me.
But today they would declare that that's schizophrenia probably and put you on drugs.
Fortunately, all those medications weren't available back then.
Thank God, right. The quacks didn't yet declare any vision. Because today the quacks declare any vision a disease, you understand that. The same way they made childbirth into an illness in order to turn women into patients who were just giving birth, they have now declared any vision a disease, a mental disorder, in order to make sure you can be drugged and possibly institutionalized. So how do you really learn how to interpret dreams?
By doing it, by practice, by working with people. I work in groups and I work individually.
Okay, and one last note. I mean, my doctorate is in nutrition from the University of California at Berkeley from 1978, and I've worked in the herbal and nutrition field for many, many years. You should remember this if we never speak again or whatever. Vitamin B6, pyridoxine, produces vivid dreams in color for individuals. I don't know if you know that. It's a very little-known fact.
No, I am familiar with that, and I have used that and some of my –
That's interesting. So that's become – that knowledge has now become part of the mainstream knowledge in people in your field. That's good, because that was originally written by Carl Pfeiffer in the 70s.
Yeah. No, that and, you know, some of us make teas as well.
Teas?
I don't know if you used mugwort or woodworm.
Well, woodworm is a very hallucinogenic herb, absolutely. That's what... We should warn you that wormwood can also cause hallucinations that are of no benefit whatsoever in high doses. So you think my dream indicates that the female within me was being led to the next dimension, not so much to remove me from life, but to instruct me?
Right. I don't necessarily think that the death was a literal death the way you were perceiving it. I think it's more of a metaphorical death of this level of consciousness, especially your dream began with, I believe you said the Yellow Submarine song, you know,
yes.
To get your attention in this sort of musical, creative way.
Oh, but I never listened to the Beatles. Why would We All Live in a Yellow Submarine pop up in my head?
Well, I think often our dreams are there to surprise us, to grab our attention, to capture us. So something that you're not familiar with is bound to grab your attention more than something you're familiar with.
Actually, I do remember why We Are All Live in a Yellow Submarine came up. I was thinking of Libya and the politics of the Middle East and all the raging infernos going on around the world and all the different cultures and how cultures are clashing against one another and coming in contact with one another in ways we've never seen before historically in terms of the frequency of interactions between people of different cultures. And I the dream at first was I have to go on the radio and tell people that they have to be accepting of strange cultures because they're here and they're not going away. And the multiculturalists have destroyed America by jamming cultures that are foreign, truthfully, and alien to our way of life down our throats. It's failed in Britain. It's failed in France. It's failing in America because never before in history have those not learned when in Rome do as the Romans do. They now want the Romans to do as they did in their third world countries. Although they have fled their hellholes, they come here and tell us we have to live their way. So I was going to say that, and then the next thing it segues into this dream. Yep, I know politically you probably don't accept what I just said because you're young, and if you're not a liberal at 20, you have no heart, and if you're still a liberal at 40, you have no mind. That's an old adage that makes sense only after you're 40. Anyway, you're a good sport, and I appreciate your calling the show, Trinity. Trinity, keep in touch. Thank you very much. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com.
Savage.